Well, good evening. I was going to say everybody, but not so much. But I think here comes some. I'm sure some of you remember this with me. Remember being young and playing games with friends and trying to create a new game. And inevitably, after a few minutes, that usually digressed into people making up new rules, changing the rules, making rules that fit their own agenda, and pretty soon you're talking more about and arguing more about playing the game than actually playing the game. I hated that. I observed an adult version of this in a reality TV show. Contestants were placed in a team. They were just one team. I think it was six or eight people. They were on a river in Alaska. They were set there for an entire year, and the goal was for everybody to make it, for them to succeed. So they had to procure food. They were moose hunting and fishing and, you know, you name it. Well, the lead couple were anarchists. So they were kind of a young hippie couple, and they decided they were gonna lead, and there was going to be no leaders. So they were the no lead leaders. And so they announced to the other participants that this was going to be the case and that there was going to be no hierarchical structure. There was going to be no rules. Nothing was going to be enforced. And there was no governing guidelines to adhere to. They were simply going to survive based on their shared belief and their desire for a common good. And most of you know where this story is going. It wasn't 3 weeks and the entire community was coming apart. And so these non-leader leaders actually started to implement rules and create expectations and to assign tasks. Well, their hypocrisy enraged the rest of the group, who recognized they did need leaders, so they hired, they actually voted in another leader, but wasn't the original leaders. I mean, it was complete and utter chaos. There was more arguing and posturing than surviving. People were leaving. Chaos. Yeah, I was thinking about that in relationship to our teaching today in Ephesians chapter 6. And I would say it surprises me, but it is intriguing to me how much people in and out of church resist authority structures and cultural order. I mean, even myself. You know, we say we like it, and then somebody tells you what to do, and you're like, no, wait a minute. Who are you? There's a resistance to being told what to do. And yet we resist this authority structure and cultural order, but nobody can live that way. Nobody. It's universal. So whether it's a tribe in the bush of Australia or a soccer team from the UK, or corporate attorneys in Manhattan, or a military unit in Iraq, or a family in Nashville, Indiana. No one succeeds without rule of authority or cultural order. Nobody. It just doesn't work. Why is that? Why is it that way? It's that way because God made the world in a particular way. It's because God created and built into us order. Order is designed into us by the God who is internally and eternally ordered. Even with the relationship within the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son submits and glorifies the Father. The Spirit submits to and glorifies the Son. And Christians, we submit to and glorify Christ Jesus. And we also obey and glorify our parents. It's the way God made it. It's the way it has to be. live in conflict with this truth, and you can, and we see the result of many who have, and it is utter chaos. Joe Rigney, in his book, Leadership and Emotional Sabotage, says this: when we give way to not living according to the truth of order in relationships, envy and rivalry are catechismically released until total antagonism reduces us to appetite and self-devouring. In other words, it becomes every man for himself. And so when God commands through Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is what he means. There is a right way of doing things. So we could paraphrase it this way: children, I have designed a right way for the universe to operate. And when you live in line with that design and obey your parents as unto me, you are promised blessing and favor. Because I've designed the world in a particular way, when you live in line with that way, you are blessed and favored. Or, in other words, you will experience flourishing and stability. So here's our main point for today in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 1 through 3. Kingdom-minded children, and Ian had it right, that's all of us, by the way, and we'll see that in the passage. Kingdom-minded children who live in line with God's design by obeying and honoring their parents, honor God, strengthen their family, invite blessing, and build the kingdom. So that's where we're headed today. So Father, help us as we study your word and let it do its work unto us through your Spirit, that we would be open to hearing it and receiving it. And then even more so, Lord, open ourselves to applying it, to adjusting ourselves to it, to being remade by you, to live according to the way that you have made things to be. We remind ourselves that's what we're about tonight, and we ask for your help. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So let's notice a couple things right out of the gate when we're taking a look at this passage. And the first thing we should notice is that Paul actually addresses children. So here's this whole book on theology. Remember, chapters 1 through 4. And now in chapters 5 and 6, he's going to apply that theology to how we live. So families, here's how the gospel changes your life. And one of the unique things that happens in this letter is that Paul actually addresses children publicly in a letter. He calls out children and says, little ones. Children. Why is that unique? Well, because in Ephesian culture, children were valued as contributors to family and society, but not until adulthood. So they were seen as potential contributors. Not contributors yet, but potentially. And then only if they were a male, and only if they were a freedman. So there was levels in society. So you were beneficial if you were a child who grows up into adulthood and you were free, you were a certain part of society. Until then, you really had no value. So I'm reading a book on Caesar Augustus right now. And you see that in the cult, the Roman culture, it's the same everywhere, even in the way Caesar's children were raised. So this is true. So here's this unique thing that Paul addresses, this important reality of all of the gospel message, all of the truths of theology being implemented into a church, into a community that is going to change the world, and Paul singles out children. Paul presents children as valuable to the Lord and to his kingdom, and as present contributors. He's not just saying someday, he's saying children, and even with him addressing children, he's saying, you are valuable, God is thankful for you, and you make a difference for his kingdom. That should encourage you. So as well, you're going to get an admonition, young ones, to obey your parents, and then for us, some of us older ones, to honor our parents, you should know out of the gate right off that the reason you're getting this injunction, the reason that you're getting this truth, is because God values you and he thinks you have a very important role in his kingdom, or he wouldn't have even have addressed you. And he wants to give you specific truth on how you contribute to his kingdom. So you're not only contributing to your family, but also to the church's role in impacting the world for Christ. Children. Secondly, he uses the word obey. Children, obey. Notice that there's a shift here in wording. So up to this point, the word that's been used in the context of the church and then also in families has been submission. Verses 21, 22, and 24. Now he switches from submission to the word obey. Submission and obedience are related, but they differ in both implication and application. So there is definitely a difference. So submission suggests that you have developed ideas, that you have some levels of understanding, and yet you yield or you surrender those to those who are over you, to those who are in authority. So you have developed ideas and understanding, but you yield them, you give them over. Obedience really carries with it following orders and rules, and it focuses on action, even if your ideas and opinions are not yet formed or you don't completely understand them. So the Lord is asking for compliance regardless of your feelings or your opinions. Submission is you have feelings and you have opinions and you yield them. Obedience is you obey even against them. Children, the Lord knows it is best for you that you obey your parents without delay, without debate, and without display. It is best for you to obey your children without delay, debate, or display. And you know what display means, right? Maybe you don't have words, but you got actions. You know, all that humping around and skipping and, you know, look, we'll watch some of your little ones after church. We've all known it well. Without delay, without debate, and without display. And when you do that, that's acting in obedience in the Lord. So that's the phrase that comes a little bit later. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So this phrase, in the Lord, actually qualifies two really important things. The first one is this: it provides some level of direction. Obedience to your parents by faith is honoring the Lord and it invokes blessing. So it provides some level of direction. Like the wife is to submit to her husband as unto the Lord, children are to obey their parents in the Lord. It gives them a direction. This is something you do by faith. And when you obey your parents by faith, you're blessed. You receive favor. So this phrase, in the Lord, provides some level of direction. It also provides a level of protection. In other words, obedience to parents is not blind or absolute. It's actually framed by alignment with the Lord's teachings and righteousness. So in other words, if a parent were to demand something contrary to God's will, i.e. asking their children to sin or to lie or to go against the law or to harm somebody else, then a child is not obligated to obey the parents. They must obey in the Lord. And if a parent is asking a child to go outside of the Lord, this provides a level of protection for them. No, ultimately, you are to obey the Lord, not men. It's a protection. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Again, this is both a direction and a protection. And also remember that the Lord has designed the world to work with order in relationships. In other words, there's a right way for doing things, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God's design reflects His own character and will. So we are to obey within His character and His will by obeying our parents. This is a theme that runs all throughout the Scriptures, authority and submission. God asks us to submit ourselves to Him within His character, within His will, to authority. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then the third thing we should notice is the very first word in verse 2, honor. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. The word honor actually expands our understanding of obedience. In other words, it takes obedience further. It's not just obedience, but it's an obedience that honors. So it's more than obedience. It includes much more, but it also takes it farther. It takes it into another realm. It takes it past the home and into the rest of our relationship. So in other words, when you are independent and aren't required to obey, we're going to unpack that here in a little bit, you still carry a heart or a tone towards your parents of obedience by way of honoring them, respecting them, valuing them, and caring for them. So this shift from obey in verse 1 to honor in verse 2 suggests that there's actually a distinction between these two words. A lot of times the Bible will use similar words, multiple words, to express one idea. That's not the case here. He's using two separate words, and we're supposed to get two separate distinctions. It describes the same thing, but there's a progression of relating to your parents. In other words, as one gets older, the focus shifts. Obedience is tied to a specific life stage. When you're little, and particularly in the home of your parents. But honoring is a lifelong duty. There's no expiration date on honoring. And again, we're going to talk about how this develops a little bit more. But hear me, children, through your relationship with your parents and the discipline and instruction they are providing for you, The Lord is training you to operate consistently in the way that He has made the world to work. Hear me? Through your parents and their training and their instruction, and I talked a lot with your parents last week, they are training you, and if you submit to them, you are going to be helped to function in the world by playing by its rules. There is a way God has designed the world to work, and when you obey and honor your parents, you work in that way that He has designed. Learning to obey will set you up for a good life, and learning to obey and honor will also set you up to do good unto others in their lives. It doesn't take a scientist to look around and see what havoc is released from children who do not obey and honor their parents and then grow up and honor and obey nobody. Let me say this negatively, and then I'm going to say it positively. So here's the negative statement. If you disobey and dishonor your parents, you are not only going against their instruction and counsel, you are living inconsistent with the way that the Lord has made the world to work. And so when you get older, if you have not learned to obey quickly, without disagreement, by body language or words, and you always need an explanation for everything that somebody tells you to do, hear me, it is not going to go well for you when you get older. It is not. You're going to find yourself in constant conflict with people, in constant conflict with the law or with rules. You're going to move from job to job or from marriage to marriage. If you never learn to obey and submit to people, your life is going to be very hard. So let me say it now positively. Obeying and honoring your parents quickly, even when you don't understand, with a good attitude, will bring about blessing and goodness and flourishing in your life. God has designed it to work this way, and He makes you a promise. This is no light or trivial verse. The fact that God says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor them." This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you'll live long in the land. This is a promise from the Lord. I believe what's happening here is you have God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They submit to one another within the Trinity. Again, Spirit submits to the Son, Son submits to the Father. They model submission to us. Husband submits to God. Wife submits to the husband as unto the Lord. Children submit to the parents. I think the Lord recognizes how difficult it is for children because they're so far down the line, if you will, and two, they also lack a significant amount of understanding and maturity. And so it becomes very hard at times for children to obey. And so the Lord builds in a promise into the Ten Commandments that says, "My little children, I recognize how hard it is for you to obey. If your mom has a hard time obeying your dad or following your dad, then that causes chaos, but I'm still asking you to submit. I realize that this is difficult, and so I'm going to offer you a promise. It's going to go well with you, and you're going to live long in the land. I will bless your obedience. I will bless your honor. You will be stable in life and you will flourish if you obey your parents because of your faith in me." When Paul makes this statement, this is the first commandment with a promise, he is referring to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, and he is connecting obedience with flourishing. If you go back and read those verses, he's talking to the nation of Israel, and he is telling them very much the same thing for the whole nation. Look, I've made life to work a certain way, and if you live within the way that I've created life to work, you will obey, you will flourish, and your life will be far more stable. And so it reflects general principle, right? Doesn't mean if you obey your parents, everybody lives long. There are children who die, even if they obey their parents. But by a general principle, those who obey and honor their parents will have a far better quality of life. That's what the Bible is saying. It's going to go much better for you. And then you also contribute to the quality of life to people around you. In other words, when children obey and honor their parents, they enjoy stability and flourishing. And children contribute to a stable, godly environment that affects the family, but also the community to which they belong. And it contributes to the building of God's kingdom. And that is why, again, God, through Paul, singles out children in this letter and says, children, you're important. You're valuable to the building of the kingdom. And so we're back to our main point. When children obey and honor their parents, they honor God, strengthen their family, invite blessing, and build the kingdom. I'll give you a short example. It's the most recent one I can think of, but we see this happening. We were out at Casa del Sol. We were planning on going out after a speech and debate tournament. And then we were going to celebrate with our kids and then decided to go and then turned in all these people over there. You know how it is? We lined up, I don't know, it was 20-some seats and we had a couple tables here. And the waiting staff was getting nervous. The owner was trying to, oh my gosh, people, if we put all the kids at one table, then that person doesn't get tipped because they're in a separate area. And we wanted to be a good testimony. We want to say, hey, we're here to be served, but also to serve you. And just, we were trying to talk with them as parents, and we just want to make sure your wait staff gets tipped the right way. So I offered my business card. If somebody gets unequally tipped, call me and I'll bring cash back over. We want to make sure this is fair. And it was a little bit tense at the beginning. And the one waitress that was serving our children's table, I think there was, I don't know, 8 or 10 kids over there. She came over and she said, are those your children over at that table? And we said, yeah, that's our kids. She goes, they are the sweetest kids. Hey, look, that made our job easier. You see, and it also said something about when I handed this lady our business card and it says Vine and Branch Community Church, it also says something about what we're trying to build here. See, when Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, and he singles out kids, he says, you're valuable and important to the process of building the kingdom of Christ. You're a very valuable part of this. So children, obey and honor your parents. I want to talk with older children for a moment. And when I say older children, I'm talking about those who are living independently or who have left their home, are leaving and cleaving, or they could be single and living independently. Earlier I had stated that the wording between obeying and honoring suggests a distinction and a continuation. So again, we have developed the context of Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 as an application of Ephesians chapters 1 through 4. And that these things address how the gospel, the truth of us being saved and rescued from our sin, gets translated into households. How does this work in the way you day-to-day live? And so in an Ephesian household, it would have included older children, like in their 20s sometimes, as well as younger children, and that those children still contained, even though they were older, in their home, because they lived still in the household, they must obey the rule of their parents. there were in their parents' household, and the dad and the mom and dad laid out guidelines and rules, and they were in their home. They still must obey. By the way, just like the bondservants were supposed to obey. Everybody that entered the home were to obey the rules that were established by the parents in that household, including employees. In other words, the entire household must have one leader, and everyone must obey and submit to him to maintain order and flourishing and stability. God designs it this way. And so once an adult child establishes independence, so they leave and cleave, they've left the house and they've gotten married, or they form their own household, they're living apart from their parents, they're financially independent, self-sufficient, then this expectation for strict obedience to parents actually diminishes. You with me? So if you're 30 years old and your dad says, move back home, don't take that job, you should honor your father and really listen truly to that counsel and ask a lot of good questions, but you are no longer strictly to obey. However, honoring your parents is a lifelong responsibility. Honoring takes obedience farther, and it still carries the promise of blessing. There's biblical examples of this. For instance, like Jesus, who as an adult followed the divine mission over his earthly parental expectations. You can read about that in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. Jesus had a ministry. He had been up on the mountain with his disciples. He comes back down into town. He comes into his hometown, and he's with a group of people, and his parents are like, his mom and his brothers are like, he's out of his nut. We got to go get him out of there. And the crowd was so thick, they couldn't get to him. So they're calling from outside, Jesus, come out of there. You're not acting right. And they're like, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside and they're calling for you. And he said, who is my mother and my brothers? He didn't immediately submit. He was submitting unto the mission that God had given him. But yet he still honored his mother. He was all about honoring his mother, even to the point where he's dying on the cross. And he makes it possible for her to be cared for and provided for when he would no longer be available to do so by assigning her to John. John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27. So honor means to give weight or to esteem. It involves a relational commitment, assigning value relationally and physically. Honor resolves to exalt the positive aspects of your parents and their role that they have served in your life, and to give grace to their weaknesses. You with me? Honor resolves to exalt the positive aspects of your parents and their role and give grace to their weakness. And this will go a long way in helping you to honor your parents. I served many a counseling hour talking with people who could not forgive their parents. And as a result of their anger and their bitterness and their constant focus on their parenting weaknesses, they were actually perpetuating the very same things they were criticizing. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If you're always focused on somebody else's weaknesses, and in particularly your parents, and you just can't come off how bad of parents they were, newsflash, you're going to act just like them. So practically, honoring means recognizing that there is no parent that is perfect. Even in the best of homes, everyone is overcoming some level of imperfect parenting they've received. This understanding frees us up to value and esteem and to express gratitude for all the well-intentioned yet imperfect ways that our parents shepherded and parented us. And so holding our parents hostage for their weaknesses and blaming them for our personal inadequacies will not only keep you from honoring them, it will also keep you from flourishing. And so by faith, we can know that even while our parents aren't parenting us perfectly, hear me, God still is. So if we believe that God is sovereign, He loves us, and He cares for us, even when our parents aren't parenting us perfectly, He still is. And He will make everything work together for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purposes. Romans 8:28-29. And therefore, in this mindset, when we obey and honor our parents in the Lord, God unleashes the blessing of His commandments to us with a promise. And we can expect flourishing and stability when we participate in the right way that He has designed the world. We are set up for good and set up doing good for others, namely our parents. Children, honor your parents. And so this doing good includes a lot of things, but some lending and helping them in their old age. Now matured and not holding grudges, children who were taught to obey and honor now turn those good qualities towards their parents and obey and honor. Lending physical aid and financial aid, helping them with ailments, helping them to take care of their property, helping them to take care of pets, caring for them, taking them in. We should be praying, by the way, for Lori Warford. They're at their hospital now. Ronnie took a turn here for the worst earlier this morning. They've been doing a very good job caring for in a difficult situation. It's honoring. It also includes taking into consideration their wisdom. I was at lunch with a young man, and I was encouraging him, hey man, learn to put yourself aside and try to hear what your parents are saying, because it's going to go really well for you if you're able to go get your weaknesses, but you have something to offer me, even in your weaknesses, as well as your strengths. And if you can get past yourself enough to actually listen and take it in, you're going to gain much. See, it's going to provide flourishing and stability. This is what I encourage my boys. The hardest thing at this phase of life, 17 to 25, is to not think this far in advance, right? This was me, by the way, most of you. If you're 17 to 25 and you're going, not me, that's you, okay? But being able to see farther and see past weaknesses and to be able to love anyway, because guess what? It's the way you're going to want your children to love you, because you're not going to parent perfectly either. And so the reality is, when we apply these lessons of honoring and obeying our parents when we're adults, you know what we're doing? We're actually living out the gospel of Christ. Because I'm loving you in spite of yourself. I've forgiven you of your sin. I'm acting humble. I want wisdom. I'm looking for instruction, even if it comes from imperfect places. That is a fleshing out of the gospel. And so Paul says, children, obey. Children, honor. So here's some application points for us. First, I'm going to talk with the parents and draw back this, obviously, talking to the little ones throughout my time. But obviously, as parents, we should be picking up on something from the passage too, but also hearkening back to last week. But I want to charge parents with something. Oh my gosh, If I had to name this one point, I would call it the rearview mirror point. Man, I would have focused a lot more on the fundamentals and the basics and forgotten all the other stuff on the outside edges. I would strongly admonish you to teach your children to obey without delay, without debate, and without display. Hammer on it lovingly, without exasperating them, right? Obey without delay, without debate, and without display. And I'm not going to exasperate you in that process. Focus on that. Teach them to obey without delay, debate, without display, in faith, because it's what God has said, and this is the way He knows life works. I'm asking you to obey me in these ways because God says it works. Do it by faith. Don't exasperate them. And then keep the core principles we talked about last week as we developed in Ephesians as the core of your home. Christ is the center. Permeate everything you do with grace. Live and adjust yourself to God's word, not anybody else's. Express gratitude and uphold God's word as the standard. Keep those things central in your home. That is the job of kingdom-minded parents, and I would encourage you to focus your full attention on those things as developed through God's word. You with me? Worry about what everybody else is doing or the latest, greatest book that's come out. Focus on these things. Teach your kids to obey. Don't exasperate them. And then focus on the gospel of Christ in your home. Young children, obey your parents even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't understand, and even when you don't want to. It's going to go well for you. Whenever your parents initiate something to make your home or your family better, joyfully participate. Don't drag into it. Joyfully participate. You're going to make your life easier. If your parents are happy and enthusiastic about leading you and you're participating in that, you're going to help your own life as well as honor God and receive His blessing. And remember, this is how you build God's kingdom. It's this practical for you. People were always talking about building the kingdom. This is exactly how you do it. Children, obey your parents. And then prepare yourself for stability, blessing, and flourishing, because it's coming. Thus says the Lord. Adult children, resolve to exalt the positive aspects of your parents and give grace to their weaknesses. This will release you to freedom and flourishing. And again, you will need it yourself someday. I was talking to my mom about this the other day. We're talking about our world. It's so easy to see the bad things going on, true? It is so easy to call out things that are wrong. It is very hard and difficult and goes against the flow to call out and see things, even in the face of difficulty, things that are good and true and redeemable and valuable. Think about these things. So my encouragement, the word's encouragement to us as adult children, is everyone can see the bad. Look for the good. And then take the good of your parents and improve on it. I don't know, and I know most of the couples in this room that are close to my age and some of the young, I don't know couples my age in this church that haven't parented way better than they were parented. All of us have moved the ball up the field, and some of us significantly so. We're not at the goal line, so you can always focus on we haven't made it yet. But most of us, we were talking about this in our elder meeting, most of us have moved the ball. Most of you have moved the ball way farther up the field. And so if you're an adult, children, focus on the fact that my parents got me much further than their parents got them. Now I want to take my kids farther so that they can take their kids farther. This is the way we build the kingdom. Let's focus on those things. So resolve to exalt the positive aspects of your parents. Seek and value the wisdom of your parents. And then the third thing, prioritize the joyful, physical, and relational support of your parents. And again, this is an evidence that you obey God, you're humble, and you understand forgiveness. Prioritize the joyful, physical, and relational support of your parents. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." In other words, if you can't take care of your parents, you don't understand the gospel. You don't understand forgiveness. You don't understand being able to give grace. Worse than an unbeliever. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you'll live long in the land. When children obey and honor their parents, they honor God, strengthen their family, invite blessing, and build the kingdom. Father, help us on in these simple truths. As parents, as children, as grandparents, help us to connect the glorious reality of the gospel, Ephesians 1 through 4, to our living 5 and 6. Thank you for this series and all that it has done, just simply trying to focus on what is it you have said to us and how are we to live as if Christ is King in our families. And so I would pray that you would take these truths from the last several weeks and run them deep into our hearts, and we wouldn't forget them or neglect them as we move on in the next couple of weeks, starting to look towards your resurrection, but actually think about these things being brought to life in our lives. And we need you for that and ask for your help. Because of Christ, amen.